Okay, so welcome to day three of what I can only call our Yerushalmi experiment so far. We're trying to find the right speed, we're trying to find the right approach, and we're trying to find the right chazora, and we're trying to find the right times. There's a lot of issues, and we're trying to find out how long it takes people to actually accommodate their brains to a completely different way of learning Gemara, which is the Yerushalmi's approach, and it really... You know that it takes many ta'aniyot to be able to flip out of Bavli to Yerushalmi, as the Gemara describes. You know, you can have like, whew, you don't want to even think about what you'd have to do to drain Bavli from your mind is the only way that you really get into Yerushalmi. We don't want to do that yet, right? So, I mean, look, those Apple Watches, they maintain all of the information of the previous access, so you can always restore, but it's not that easy to restore your Bavli. All right, so what we've been doing and what I hope we'll continue to do is we've been doing a brief review. I attempted to do the review in the actual text yesterday. I'm suggesting maybe we can try doing a quick review in actual text from the day before and then a conceptual review as an introduction to that. But I also want to point out that I think I'm getting closer to an understanding of what level we want to get into this. And I think I maybe departed from what would have been correct, because this is the equivalent to the first time around in a Bavli Daf Yomi. Now, every time that we go through the Bavli Daf Yomi, we go into it on a different level from a different point of view. But so I've been sort of, my mindset has been, let's try to get the details and understand the different approaches. I think that that may be a mistake. What we need to do is to look at this as our first time examining the Yerushalmi, or even those who did the earlier Yerushalmis, but it's the first time we're doing the Shvias and so on, so that maybe we should keep it simple, and therefore maybe sometimes point out there are alternative approaches, but to get all of the details and to worry about, you know, there's five different approaches to this, which there always is in Yerushalmi, because there's really very little consensus over the Doiros, because it wasn't learned with consensus, and there's no Pirush on the Yerushalmi that everybody's ready to buy into. There's no Rashi that people will say, well, this is the simple pshat. So because of that, I think we would be biting off more than is correct to bite off, because tafasta meruba lo tafasta. And therefore, we should get a general approach in learning Yerushalmi. Keep our minds open to the fact that, well, it's still multiple possibilities in the details of what this is and what this is. And meanwhile, we'll get the overall structure of the concepts of Shvias and the possibilities of the various approaches when it comes to the details. Now, as we're going to see today, Rabosai, the Yerushalmi itself points out that a lot of the attempt to give a clarity and a absolute svara as to what is going on here and where we get these shiurim from and these dinim from is not a serious thing, because it wasn't meant to be approached in. That's the way I understand today's Gemara, as we'll see. And it would mean that it would really be a mistake. The Gemara itself goes out of its way to show it would be a mistake to try to really make a absolutely clear sense out of this. And that's because when it comes to many of the dinim that have to do with the agricultural isurim in the Torah, it's the relationship to the agriculture that's important. Even, mind you, when it comes to the dinim of kelayim, a very serious halacha d'oraisa, right? As we saw many times, the graphic impact of the way that a field looks from the air is very important in defining whether something is mixed or not. Now, I mean, either the nourishment is mixed or not, right? No, wrong. And therefore, we have concepts of things that separate between areas, even though they're still actually being yonig from one another. Well, the same thing is true when it comes to these ideas of Shemitah. What is really considered to be a planting for the, or a Harisha, a plowing for the purposes of Shemitah, and not. So we began at the beginning of the Masechet discussing what is called the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim. Those Shnei Prakim HaRishonim are Gezeira D'Rabbanan that expanded the idea of Tosefet Shvias into longer than the 30 days that was originally prescribed either by the Pasuk or by Halacha L'Mishmi Sinai, and it brought it all the way back to the holiday of Shavuos when it comes to planting, to plowing in a field of trees, and is all the way back to Pesach, as we're going to see, when it comes to planting in a field of grain which is called Estei Lavan. And that extension the Mishnah talks about, we need to know that the Mishnah that we're reading is not relevant anymore because of the fact that that extension was canceled by Rabbi Gamliel Beit Dino, brought us into a beautiful discussion of how it's possible to cancel a takana when you're not on the madrega of the Beis Din. We then learned a wonderful halacha for Kol HaTorah Kula, which the Rambam goes out of his way to paskin. Any Beis Din in any generation that argues about an interpretation of a pasuk has a right to argue on any other Beis Din, no matter who it was. That's the nature of Torah Shebaal Peh. You go according to the development of human understanding, and you do not say, these people must have known better than me. Not true. That's such an important nekuda, because people make this terrible mistake in taking everything that somebody said. If they're maybe only 200 or 300 years older than you, they must know better. Not true. It has to go according to the way it's understood. The only time that we say you can't be mevatel is where they made a takana, and over there they don't necessarily give all the information in order to make sure that people won't take it on themselves to decide whether it's a good takana or not. That's the only case. And even there, it's only where everyone has accepted that takana and it's already been taken into the norms of Israel's behavior. And that is not because you can't argue. Okay. Now, there were two possibilities. If this were an actual halacha l'meshem Sinai, then the halacha l'meshem Sinai must have been meant, as the Rambam paskins, only for the time that there is a Beis HaMikdash. When there's no Beis HaMikdash, theoretically, you'd be able to do all of your work until Erev, literally Erev Shavuos, the last possible moment, which, if possibly it is a din in the Torah, which actually Rabbi Gamliel came to learn from the Pasuk, in that Shavuos is compared to Shabbos. There's no din of being mafsik any longer before Shabbos than a few moments. And therefore, over here also, you don't have to be mafsik any more than a few moments. And that's exactly the idea which Rav Moshe paskins, la halacha. This is amazing how this is nogea, all of these sugyas, that must be that when it comes to Shabbos, indeed, there is no particular shiur. It's just a few minutes before Shabbos, and therefore you can't adjust that to being 30 days and so on. And I'm a vato the entire din. You want to be not chayrish in your field 5 minutes before shkia. That's very nice of you, and that would be fine. But there's certainly no din of being mafsik before, not 30 days, and not till from Shavuos, and not from Pesach, and so on. That was the opening salvo of the Yerushalmi, and that was our first day of Limud. So that includes Daf Aleph, so that we had a pasuk. Now, the question that we had, where did we get the idea of Shavuos? So we said that the machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel was the question only of whether we judge according to a particular year or whether we judge according to norms. The basis, the logic of all of this is Harisha that is useful for currently growing six-year produce is obviously not usur. You take care of that produce until the very last minute. There's no question of that. However, there comes a point in the year where there's not enough moisture to justify the plowing. On the contrary, the plowing becomes damaging because it lets the moisture actually be evaporated into the air. And so because of that, we say it's true even about a tree that doesn't grow fruit. Not because trees that don't grow fruit are allowed to be, or have to be not worked on, but because since there's a concern for the tree itself, if you're plowing and you're not concerned and it's after Shavuos and you're hurting the growth of the tree, which even if you're growing Christmas trees to sell, you still are interested in their being thicker, apparently you're doing this in order to do work in Shemitah. And that we don't allow. It shouldn't look like you're doing that. That's the last thing that we understood. Now let us start from halacha beis, in actual chazora of the words. Halacha beis is the definition. Ezeo steya ilan. So we had a shear. Three ilanot in a beitza'ah. And then it depends also on how productive the trees are. They have to be able between them, or according to some, each tree, or according to some, it doesn't necessarily have to be prorated. Im ru'uyim la'asot kikar d'veilar shal shishi mona bitalki. Pressed figs then you can do the entire Beitzah B'Shvilan. But if you've got less than that, meaning either less than the three trees, or you've got less than that kind of level of production, which is about 25 kilos, in Chorshim Lehem, Elam Aloha Oreh V'Salo Chutzalo. We have not yet explained why we use the figs as the mashal, but the Gemara is going to discuss that later. So then you would only be allowed, again, in the olden days, when there were still the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim, you would only be allowed to do what is in the exact area of the tree itself. And that would be to allow used enough space to get in there. And if you've got a basket, to keep that basket outside of your body, make a circle around the tree, and that's what's yours. Rabbi Yehuda b'shem Shmuel and Rabbi Avuah b'shem Rabbi Yochanan says, well, let's remember the sugya about Kenyan. Hakuneh shlosha ilanot. So we've got this whole sugya in Baba Basra. A guy buys three trees, b'toch shel chavero. So if they're spread out in the same way they would be if you spread evenly 10 trees within one Beit Sa'ah, which is 2,500 square amos, and they're not too close to Krovim up to the point where Kadeshia Abakar over Bekelav, there's still enough space for a tractor to pass between them, then your Kena, the Karka, even beneath those trees, between those trees, and outside of the trees, which is necessary for you to stand to be able to collect Meloha or Revisalo. And Rav insists, well, this is only if they are triangularly spaced, because that is so difficult to get your work done in between in a triangle, the guy must have meant to sell him the land also. Where Shmuel says makes no difference. Even their Asuyin Shura, they can even be a straight line. Omer Reb Yossi, well, this machlokas between, now, there's 2 points over here. This machlokas between Rav and Shmuel is the way we understood it yesterday. Let's assume that meanwhile. This machlokas about whether it needs to be a triangle, that was only benogea tamani tamet as far as sales, but has nothing to do with Shemitah. Ocha loka amet. That's what we had learned yesterday. Now, well, let's start again from Daf Gimel today, even though we did a little bit of it. And we'll read it again. Now, my contention is that Daf Gimel is basically a lesson in not taking the shiurim to be meant too seriously and too literally. And therefore, don't drive yourself crazy to figure out how this works out in all cases. Just as all takonis d'rabbanan that have a shiur is given. Even though there may be obvious cases, which I'm going to show you, where you can look at me like I'm crazy, what would be the meaning of a shiur like that? It won't apply. So Amr Rabbi Yonah. So Rabbi Yonah says, I disagree. Afilu hachi is tamret. I say that even in the case of Shemitah, it's the same halacha. If these trees are close, then they have to be a triangle. Because think it, if they're close together, how would they be matir as a stay ilan? A few trees planted close to each other looks like a sadeh. So if they look like, according to Rav, they look like the triangle, so that gives them a sense of covering up more area. Okay, we'll see there's another approach to this. The other approach is clearly Krovim not talking about triangles at all, but talking about what the shear is of how close together. That is a machlokas that would apply over the first statement, not the machlokas, but the first part. What the shear is bekrovim, that you need to have your tractor pressed between it. That's true over here as well. Omar le Rav Mana. Does this make sense to you, Rav Yonah? The im bekrovim. What? You're telling me that you've got trees that are close together, and then Rav says that you have a need for triangular planting. Well, it doesn't say that in the Mishnah. The Mishnah later on says, Kidei Shia Bakar Over Bekelav. That just needs to be big enough for a tractor to go between them. And that if it's not, so then does it say anything about how it's shaped? No. It says the problem is that a tractor has to pass between them. Why does a tractor have to pass between them? That's because if you can't get your tractor there, that means you are unable to maintain this tree. And therefore, ultimately, you're going to be taking this tree out of here. And because of that, it's not a real sada. But does it say anything about how it looks? Doesn't say it has to be in a triangle. It even is true if it's in a straight line. It obviously makes no difference. So how could you apply Rav's din about requiring a triangle? Okay. Now, one of the strange things about the Yerushalmi that you have to know is that the Yerushalmi does not stick in words like kasha, tiyufta. It just leaves it hanging. Use your brains. Either you've got an answer or you don't have an answer. I'm pointing out something, okay? And therefore, this is point number one that I've pointed out. Let's move on now. But wait a second. I'm not telling you if there's an answer. Now, let's go further. What would be the whole idea, okay? I want you to think about this. Now, again, this is a wonderful difference between Yerushalmi and Bavli. The difference is that in the Bavli, they always talk about listen. Tashma, I want you to listen. In the Yerushalmi, they don't talk about listening. They talk about looking. Because we're talking about Chochmah over here. You got brains, do you see or you don't see? If you don't see, I'm not explaining it. So therefore, we always find now, these small issues become very powerful differences in the whole way that the Gemara is constructed. Okay, itachami. What do you mean? What Bavli Lashon? What are you talking about?
In terms of seeing.
The Bavli. Bavli doesn't talk about it in terms of seeing. The Yerushalmi talks about you seeing. So, itachami. It's the equivalent, but I'm saying that's not an equivalent. But it's used in the same way. Itachami. So come and see. Okay. I want you to think about this. This makes no sense. Okay. And this is the first point that shows that it makes no sense. Because of the fact that a bakar is over bekelav. Now here's the situation. You've got this line of trees. Okay. And now the question is, how close can they be? So if you've got a line of trees, think about a line of trees. You've got three trees in this gigantic 2,500 square amas plot of land, right? Now, you're telling me, if there's enough space for the tractor to go between the trees, so then, at that point, the whole area can be harush, can be plowed, right? But if it's not big enough for your tractor, so then you can't plow anything. Then you can only be around the tree. This really makes sense. I mean, somebody has implanted a little intelligent chip in the tree, which tells the tree, if there's no room for a tractor, do not spread your roots even to the side. Tree says, well, why not? I need the nourishment. So what difference does it make as far as the question is concerned of how far it is that the tree is going to be yoinik? The tree is going to put its roots out there anyway. If the heter was because you're actually taking care of roots that need taken care of for the sixth year, not for the seventh year. So what possible difference does that mean? So if there's enough room for a tractor, then the tree knows that I'm able to spread my roots all the way to the side, which is 25 amas to this way, 25 amas to that way, and that's the 50 by 50. Oh, my God. But if I get the message in my little chip, beep, 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 tractor can't pass through. Pull back your roots. So b'sha'ash ena bakar. So then, ena shorashim ha'alchim en atzad. This is nonsensical. So it's obviously, now there's no, this is another thing. It doesn't say kasha. It doesn't say, let me explain it to you. I said, come and look. Well, what's your conclusion for coming and looking? The conclusion is that it's not meant to make sense. That's the point. So it is not an absolute, it's based on agricultural sense across the board. It's based on a certain basic structures of assumptions that then, like all dinim, which are extensions of the rabbanans, don't need to be applied on an ad hoc basis. They're applied as kol shiurei chachamim. So fine. If it's not going to be utilized and it's too close together, it's not a stehilan. That's the real point. That's the real underlying shot, okay? Fine.
Really, does it mean that we have to look at what we perceive, not what's actually happening agriculturally? We perceive it to be a clump of trees.
No. Even that's not true. We know that if there is a shear, this has an answer, by the way, because it doesn't really prove anything. Because the reason there's a difference is because one of these trees is not going to survive. That's the real difference. And therefore, we don't view it as a stay ilan. But that's not because you look at it and see that. It's because the Rabbanan defined a stay ilan in this fashion. So you'll say, okay, and if it, so you're telling me if it has 60, 25 kilos, yes, but 24.8 kilos, no. I'm going to ask that question also. So therefore, it's not going to be yonek because it's slightly less. That's the way that the Rabbanan made it this year. That's all. So if it is a viable stay ilan, the way we just defined stay ilan, then this is the din. Don't sit here and start explaining to me, but, you know, I as a farmer, no. And, says Ritual Bar of Yitzchak, I've got another point to make, okay? I say, now again, here's a difference in Lusha that you need to remember. In the Bavli, boi always means I ask a question. What would be the din? In the Yerushalmi, boi means, will you please pay attention and think about this, okay? So I'm telling you, I want you to think. So, hayonutunim betzad hagader. Think about a case like this. These trees are at the edge of a fence, right? Now, the stay ha'ilan is going to be defined as 50 by 50 from the point of the fence, right? Now, Shmuel said it's a straight line. And that means anywhere in this area that's a straight line of trees of three that are not too close, not too far, whatever those shiurim are, that it's considered to be a stay ilan. Lovely. Okay, so what does that mean? That 50 amas from the fence, I mean, obviously that stay ilan doesn't go through the fence so that now I'm able to do a harisha on the other side. That doesn't even resemble a sada. So then that means that the stay ilan starts from the fence 50 amas all the way to the other way, right? So think about the implications of that. So now, oh, I'm sorry, I skipped the Shmuel Bar Yitzchak. I'm still in Reb Lezer. Right? I think. I didn't say Reb Lezer. Yeah.
Yes, correct.
Okay, I skipped. So Reb Lezer, now here too, Sha'al. Sha'al does not mean I have a kasha. It means I'm pointing out a problem. And you're supposed to deal with the problem. And it's the same point that the Gemara is making. Again, this is the way I understand the Gemara. The point being, don't try to make absolute sense out of this. So we're talking about the three trees. And the distance between the three trees was said was between 16 and 17 amos, right? Because that's because if you split the 2,500 square amos and you divide them into plots that are circles around the each one of the trees, and they're all divided, so one is like approximately 830 square amos, and it ends up that you've got the distance of 16 plus amos between a single trees. So there you're saying, and that's up to the point where it hits the 16 amas of the other tree. So that means that the roots are going to get to that 16 amas. And then to the side, how far do they get to the side? Well, they've got to get 50 amas, you know, which means 25 amas to each side. So how come when they're going in the direction where there are other trees, they only go 16 amas before they hit another root and then they stop? But if they're going to the side, then they know I should extend to the side. So now you're going to be covering the 2,500 square amos in totally different ways. What's the agricultural logic in that? I don't think that sounds very logical. Why it would be 16 amos in one direction and 25 amos in another direction. Reb Shmuel Bar of Yitzchak says, I can show you other nonsense about this. So again, boy, I'm asking you to look at this, okay? Which means I'm telling you this is ridiculous. So now, you've got your three trees, according to Shmuel, they're all up against a wall on one side of the field. What's the din according to Shmuel? The whole thing is considered to be a stay ilan. You can go ahead and be chorish the whole thing, okay? So then, you would be chorish and kol beitza'a b'shvilo, correct? And that would mean that if that's true, so then we land up with all kinds of fascinating curiosities that come out of that, as we're going to see. So you take this into consideration. Now, what would that mean? Ah, so Reb Yossi. So then, the point he's making, let me explain to you. The point he's making is this. If you want, you can be very smart, and you can end up using those three trees to be choresh for Beit Sa'ah, okay? So in boy, nitan lehem arbasa'a, because all you have to do is you put up a fence. Okay. So now I've got a fence on the north side. Okay, Shmuel said if you got three trees, you got 50 amas. Okay, great. Measure your 50 amas to the south. All right. Take down the fence, move it now to the south side. Oh, Shmuel says you got 50 amas. Now you got 50 amas going up to the north side. Great. Put a fence on the east. Okay, now go all the way to the west, 50 amas. Take down the fence. And, you know, there's companies that sell these special pre-shvius fences, they're called. And it's a great business. You pick up the fence, move it to the other side, and now you've got all the way to the east. You've got 50 amas. So now you've got four beitza'ah for the price of a takedown fence. What do you think about that? Does this make sense to you? So you get a sa'amikan, move the fence, sa'amikan, move the fence, sa'amikan, move the fence, sa'amikan. And you're telling me this is logical? Well, it doesn't have to be logical. This is the shir. What do you want? Rabbi Yirmiyah, boy, I want to point out another crazy case. Okay? You've got one single vine. All right, now, of course, Barnea will tell you he actually did this, yes? And he's got one single vine, and he's got a trellis. So this is called Makdim Refuah L'Maka, that Barnea can tell you this, right? So he's got a trellis. Now, the trellis is spread over 100 amas in one direction, 50 amas in the other direction, which gives you two beit sa'ah. And over the past 5 years, it's covered the entire area. Okay, so then you're allowed, because it says you're allowed to go and do Harisha underneath the tree. Okay, this is one tree, and underneath the tree takes up 5,000 square amas, right? So for one tree, you're going to be able to do a 5,000 amas, and then you get more. Because we said if it's a single tree, then you also have the space of where you stand, and you have a basket to be able to collect, so add that to it, right? And you're telling me a stay at Elon, where you need to have three trees, you give me all that has to be within this space and that space. I got a case for you. How about a single tree? Does better than that. This makes sense to you. So therefore, the whole idea is that it's a shear, and that's the point. Now, this idea that we're talking about, remember, is all about the Shnei Prakim HaRishonim. So let's talk about, at the time, when we were still in the period of B'Yisr Shnei Prakim HaRishonim, that's the Gemara doesn't do with all of the cases, but when it introduces a new case, it wants you to remember. This is not Nogea La'alocha, because it's only Nogea when we needed to actually clearly define what is considered to be a state ilan. So think about this situation, and tell me that this makes agricultural sense, okay? We've got a case where you've got a mountain. Now, one guy's got an orchard on the top of the mountain, and another guy has an orchard, which is a Beit Sa'ah beneath that, on the next level down. Another guy's got one on the next level down. Okay, so now, what's the din? Well, I mean, everybody's got the same shear, right? So the people that are on top, their trees are going to be able to justify nourishment 25 amos beneath those trees. And then what happens? Well, then they bump into the 25 amos that were given to the people beneath them, right? Well, they do? You mean tree roots grow up the mountain? I mean, last I heard, tree roots go down. They don't go up. I mean, they may, you know, go up a little bit when they go across, but I never heard of tree roots growing up. So are you telling me that they grow down as much as they grow up? And therefore, everybody's got 25 amas going up and 25 amas going down, and gravity is suddenly not operative in trees on mountains. Does this really make sense to you? So elu milamalan, chorshimbo milamatan. So the ones that are growing on top, they can go only 25 amas down. And elu milamatan, the ones on the bottom of the mountain, they can still go 25 amas up. So in other words, I'm now planting the Beit Sa'ah between the two rows because some trees are going up and some trees are going down. I mean, look, I mean, yes, I understand why the trees on top are certainly growing down, but how do you explain the fact that the trees on the bottom are Chorshimbo Milamalan? Is that true? Says the Gemara, well, yeah, why not? I mean, Nishma'inu Minhada, I mean, can't we be a little naive about this? I mean, it says in the halacha about the dinim of Shechinim, you know, in Bava Basra, a guy is planting trees. Now, every homeowner knows this, that when you plant a tree and it's near some kind of water pipes, right, that in the end, the roots of that tree are going to bust up the water pipe. So now, in this case, A neighbor has a bore, and that bore is where he keeps all of his water. You want to plant a tree in a way that is ultimately going to invade his bore and break the edges of his bore. Okay, so it says over there, that makes sense. Over here, we're talking about the Beitza, 25 amot in one direction. So therefore, if you have a tree, then if we're talking about agricultural realities, then the zoning laws, which is what Baba Basra is about, the zoning laws in terms of neighbors is that they have to have at least 25 amos between their tree roots and the guy's bor in order to prevent damaging their neighbor's bor. Now, there's a braita on that that says it doesn't matter whether the tree that you're planting is on a lower level. So let's say your neighbor you're on a hill and your neighbor's bor is on top. You still have to keep 25 amos, okay? So if we're going to say that this din is a din in zoning, it apparently is a real issue. You're going to end up damaging the other person's water pipes, even though it's going up. So what bothers you all of a sudden now when it comes to Shvius? That doesn't prove anything to me. So it's possible that you will misunderstand this braita, but that you'd be wrong. You might think that the braita means when it says whether it's on top or whether it's on the bottom, it means whether Bein Shailan Lamala Vabor Lamata, whether the tree is on top and the bor is down, or whether both of them are next to each other Milamata. That's what you might think it means. That it doesn't matter whether one is above the other. It doesn't mean that the tree could be on the bottom and the bor can be on top. It means that the tree could be on top and the bor can be on the bottom. So there you think maybe you need more than 25 amas because gravity will pull the roots even further. No, it's the same shear, but it doesn't mean that the tree roots grow upwards. That what you think to read it, that's not true. Because I'll bring you another price that says Beferish, Ratani. Milamatan, when we're talking about over here, is it doesn't matter. Ilan Milamala va Borlamata or Ilan Milamata va Borlamala. So it says Beferish that the tree roots grow up, right? So, okay, so don't use this as a proof that this is not agriculturally viable. Because, I understand. Same thing you said about Shemitah. Necha Elon, I understand the case where the Elon is Lamala and the Barmel is Lamata, but how do you explain the fact that if the tree is down, the roots are going to go up? So it's got to be, I guess, that Derech Asharashim Lalot Lamala, apparently they do grow up. Rabbi Chanina, this has nothing to do with the roots penetrating that guy's boring water pipe, for God's sake. It's because since they grow to the side and the bor is above it, in the end, the soil is loosened because of the root growth, and that weakens the bottom of the bor, and that destroys his bor. But it's not because they're growing up. It's because they are moving to the side, which loosens the soil, and that is Malkin Aritosho bor. It doesn't destroy the bor from the top, it destroys it from underneath. And in fact, there was a maisa like this. We'll just get up to the, I know we need to finish. He had an actual question on this that was a suit in court. And Rabbi Yosef said that this brisa that says you need 25 amas even where it's under is actually not true. It's a das yochid, which I'll prove to you. Velo samchinan alei, the rabbonin disagree. And tani Allah, we see that there's a machlokas in the brisa because it's a das yochid. Rabbi Shimon omer, kishem shamru b'lamalakachamru b'lamata. The Chachomim disagree, and therefore we don't have to worry neither about roots growing upwards, no, but you don't have to worry about the roots ruining the soil underneath. The roots, actually, they give additional holding power to soil as well, and therefore it's not an issue. We never made a gezerah, which brings us up to tomorrow's Gemara, Bezrat Hashem, Halacha Gimel, and if we are Zocha to have yet another daf of Yerushalmi, how wonderful that would be. So Bezrat Hashem, see you then tomorrow. Kol Tuv.